SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It is a Football Friday live right here on FFC, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We get you set for week number 9 of this NFL season. Week number 10 in the opening Saturday in November of this college football campaign as well. Lisi guy, a Football Friday 13 games on Sunday. Week 9 kicking off last night. Plenty of college football in store. It's a great time to be here on the opening weekend of November.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. Final stretch run for all of the college teams. We have about 5 weeks left of the college football season. We'll get the rankings after this coming weekend. And for the NFL, this is really a chance for teams to separate themselves. Big divisional matchup. We have Detroit and Green Bay. Dallas on the road against Atlanta, some really good marquee games, and we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, last night the Jets got off the mat and grinded out an ugly win over C.J. Stroud, and the Houston Texans maybe, just maybe, they could get back to 500, Ben.
Well, that will be the question, Lisi, and that's where we begin with Thursday night football to kick off week number 9. The New York Jets in the opening half looked like the same old Jets. Malachi Corley dropping the football inches from the goal line, and it was recovered for a fumble by the Texans. More kicking woes, it seemed, for New York, and plenty of penalties, only to rectify it in the second half. Three full offensive possessions by New York, dominating time of possession, and three touchdown tosses from Aaron Rodgers. Two to Garrett Wilson, one to Devontae Adams. In his third game in a Jets uniform, Tay finds pay dirt for the first time. In the third game with Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson scores a touchdown for the first time, making one of, if not the best catches that you will see all year long in football. The New York Jets, Joe, do win in a game they absolutely had to have, and this time they get it. 21-13 over Houston, covering as a 2.5-point home favorite. Total of 42.5 does stay under.
Yeah, their stars came through. Garrett Wilson not one, but two big one-handed receptions. His first touchdown as well was a behind-the-back pass. He snared it and took it to the house. So, dynamic playmaker. Things are starting to open up. You saw Aaron Rodgers on the 3rd-and-3 force feed Devontae Adams. They missed on the opening play of the game. And now maybe Devontae Adams will live up to the expectations since coming to New York. This was a breakout game for him. The defense bent, but they didn't break. Played very good in terms of the red zone. Rush defense, though, Ben, still needs to get better. Big picture, if this team is going to get back to 500, that front seven needs a better effort the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. We did see Joe Mixon run for more than 100 yards. He was about the only bright spot last night for a Texans offense that is facing injuries on that side of the football in C.J. Stroud's two top targets and along the offensive line, especially in the interior, and they were taken to the house yesterday. C.J. Stroud sacked 8 times by this Jets D-line. Not good news for the Texans, who dropped their third game of the year in fall to 3-5-1 against the number. Joe, if you're looking at the New York Jets, though, this was the game that was supposed to happen over a month ago. This was what was supposed to be the result after the acquisition of Devontae Adams. If you are going to get him, he needs to have that positive impact on the offensive side of the ball. He did. Aaron Rodgers last night, 22 of 32, less than 220 yards, but 3 touchdowns without throwing an interception or putting the ball in harm's way. That's a good thing. Of those 22 completions, 16 to either Devontae Adams or Garrett Wilson. Of those 32 attempts, 21 targeted at Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson. You could see they were the focus of that offense, especially in the second half. And of course, all 3 touchdown tosses for Aaron Rodgers, 2 to Garrett Wilson, 1 to Devontae Adams. Joe, that's where you can find a little bit of optimism if you are still a believer in the Jets. That's what it's supposed to look like, at least what we saw in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, continuity, right, from the offensive perspective. You know, the rushing attack was good. It wasn't elite, but the passing game took over in the second half. They clearly were the better team last night. Houston, even though they ran the football well, they were inconsistent in regards to the passing attack. C.J. Stroud without major weapons. Outside of Tank Dell, there really wasn't another weapon to take the pressure off the offensive line. And C.J. Stroud under pressure, you know, multiple times. So they deserve to win that game. Now, can they string it back to back to back? Aaron Rodgers acting like he won the NFC Championship back in his days of, you know, Green Bay because he threw a touchdown pass to Tay. Let's get real. You know, you dropped five straight prior to that. You're 3-6 overall, and you had a 9.5 win total. What a 13-1 number to win the AFC. So let's just pump the brakes and let's see how this plays out.
I think that's fair, Joe, right? This is still a team in a very deep hole trying to crawl its way out of it. They are still three games below 500 at 3-6. I will say this, though, Joe. New York entered the year with the fourth easiest schedule around the National Football League. They only play one team in their final eight games that is currently above 500. That's the Buffalo Bills. A couple of teams that are even 500, but the docket is not all that difficult for the Jets the remainder of this season. And the good news about the AFC, only seven teams enter week number nine with a winning record. Joe, the New York Jets, we have talked a lot about it here over the last few weeks. Even after dropping games, they were expected to win. Even after the big changes, the firing of Robert Saleh, the promotion of Jeff Ulbrich, the change in offensive play caller, the acquisition of Devontae Adams, would it all be enough for Gang Green to snap a 13-year playoff drought and get into the postseason in 2024? Playoff price entering last night, plus 590. Playoff price as of this Friday morning, down by $2 to plus 390. Do you have any more belief that the Jets could be a playoff team this season?
No, because, again, even though they won, Ben, right, it wasn't a four-quarter effort. When's the last time the Jets strung together a four-quarter effort to dominate a team? It's been a while, right? The mental mishaps are still happening. You run into the punter and the personal foul penalty. You know, the mental breakdowns and the careless penalties in the secondary to allow drives to sustain for Houston that put them in a position to score points. I have not seen a complete four-quarter effort offensively and defensively, and I don't think it's going to change with an interim staff. Flip a coin on the day that the Jets actually play good and the days that they played like the last 5 weeks prior to last night. Can't buy that, and I certainly can't gamble on it at this point. Can't do it.
Listen, Joe, the Jets have always found ways to lose. They did in the opening half last night. They figured it out in the final two quarters. The Jets are going to be booked as a favorite. I mentioned how easy the schedule appears on paper. You would think six, seven of their final eight games. We would expect them to win, but we have expected them to win a few times, and they come up on the losing end. Last night, just the 15th time since the start of 2021. Of course, that's when former now head coach Robert Saleh took over as a favored side for the Jets. They're just 8-7 straight up, and now 6-8-1 against the number. Joe, quickly to the Texans. Injuries to Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs out for the remainder of this year. The interior of the offensive line has struggled. The Texans are a 6-3 football team in pole position in the AFC South, but now just 3-5-1 against the number this season. Are you concerned at all about the ceiling of this Texans team that we thought maybe with some offseason optimism could contend for the AFC?
No, as long as Nico Collins is back over the next couple of weeks, they play Detroit and I believe Dallas in back-to-back weeks. As long as he's back for one of those games, big picture, I think they're going to be a playoff contender.
Yeah, I certainly believe so. And minus 2,000, still the number on Houston. Minus 550, the Texans priced to win the AFC South, the only team with a winning record currently in the division. We preview the 13 games on Sunday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. You know our charge each and every Football Friday to preview the entirety of the football weekend. We start with each and every game, all 13 on the NFL Week 9 Sunday slate. We'll get into college football and some closing thoughts later in this hour. All right, Lisi guy, we go in order. You know how we do. A breakdown, a preview, a quick pick for every game on the Sunday slate. It starts in Tennessee. The Titans 3.5-point favorite against the Patriots, total at 38.5. Tennessee is a one-win football team. New England won its second game of the year last week at home. Joe, reports right now more than likely Jacoby Brissett is going to start his sixth game of the season for New England. Drake May suffered a head injury last week, of course, in the win against the New York Jets. 3.5-point spread in favor of the Titans. Can we be laying more than a field goal with Tennessee at any time?
No, but I think in this game, it's ripe. And the reason why I say that is they got absolutely abused by Detroit, right? Catching 11.5, 12. They were somewhat of a public dog with a letdown spot potentially for Detroit, and they absolutely got boat raced. You have New England coming off an emotional rivalry win, their first win at home. Maybe there's a little bit let down. Back to old man Brissett. Mason Rudolph and Brissett, I'll give the edge to Mason Rudolph. Don't love it, but I would take Tennessee and the under in this game.
Yeah, I lean under as well, Joe. 38.5. You find me 39 points, I shake your hand and say job well done. And Jacoby Brissett's 5 starts this year, 20 points or less for the Pats in all 5, 10 points or fewer in 3 of the 5. The Titans have been booked as a favorite twice this year. They have lost both of those games outright, by the way, and they have scored 17 points or fewer in both. Carolina and New Orleans. Panthers at home as a touchdown underdog in a divisional duel. Normally something, Joe, you would look at and say, well, I got to take the points, at least in this divisional matchup. And not so sure. Derek Carr returns from his oblique injury, missed 3 weeks. The Panthers will send out Bryce Young. Once again, Bryce, best of luck to you, brother. 43.5 is that total. Lisi guy, which way you lean?
I'm going to take the points with Carolina. I just can't. Derek Carr, I don't look. Am I live?
Yeah.
I don't know if Derek Carr is going to have any residual effects coming back. He's certainly not a savior to his point. That's what he came out and said. And I believe him. You know what? It's a divisional game playing at home. I'll take the points with Carolina. Do believe the 43.5, though, is somewhat in play just because now with the season dead and buried, both of these teams might just air it out.
Yeah, listen, Lisi, I kind of agree with that statement. Dennis Allen was the defensive coordinator for 6 seasons under Sean Payton. If he's going to have any redeeming factor to try to see 2025, which I do not believe is going to be the case, defense has to bow up against Bryce Young, and it should be an opportunity to at least figure it out there because they've allowed 26 points, at least the team as a whole, New Orleans, at least in the last 5 games. And, of course, they've lost 6 straight after starting 2-0. The Panthers, Lisi guy, an underdog in all 25 games since the start of last season. They are 5-18-2 against the spread. Not great covering numbers. This a peculiar line, 8.5 in favor of the Ravens between 2 teams, Joe, both at 5-3. The Flock had their 5-game win streak snapped last weekend. They were the hottest active team in the NFL entering week number 8. Looking to bounce back in week 9 against the Broncos team that has won 5 of their last 6. And yet the line, Joe, is 8.5 in favor of the Ravens. Total 46 and a hook. Lamar Jackson missed Wednesday and Thursday of practice for Baltimore. Is expected to be back on this Friday. Lisi guy, is the line too large in favor of the Flock? Can Denver keep this game close?
They can, but I think they get absolutely boat raced in this game. This is one of my better picks. I like Baltimore laying the 8.5 against Denver. I know Bo Nix and Denver playing well. They get the victory over a gutless Carolina team. They laid 10.5, 11. They win by 14, running the football consistently. But on the road, where Baltimore typically hasn't played well this year, coming off an emotional loss, 29-24, where they were 9.5-point road favorites to famous Jameis, I think they absolutely run it, throw it all over them. I like Baltimore, and I like the over 46.5.
Listen, I like the idea of an over in this game. Baltimore over in 7 of 8. However, Denver is the third best scoring defense in the NFL. This is the highest total for the Broncos, and by a good amount. 42 was their previous highest over under. That was way back in week number one. The Broncos 5-3 straight up, 6-2 against the number. The Ravens have been a touchdown favorite or greater only twice this year. And the flock have lost both, including last week on the road in Cleveland. The Bengals, Joe, can ill afford to lose any more football games. They're laying 7.5 at home in Cincinnati on Sunday against the Raiders. Total 46.5. Again, when you start 0-3, your margin of error to try to be a playoff team is slim to none. And if the Bengals lose much more, slim's walking out the door, Lisey guy. Can they win comfortably on Sunday against the Raiders?
They can, Ben, but they're laying 7.5. This is a rematch of the playoff game 3-4 years ago. They're 0-4. They're 0-4. They're 0-4 at home. They might win, but I'll take the 7 points. I mean, I thought Joe Burrow and the team would just dominate, but the Raiders have been covering numbers back-to-back against the Rams and last week against the Chiefs. Give me the points with the Raiders on the road.
Yeah, listen. They have covered back-to-back weeks. It was a late touchdown and insignificant time. It didn't look all that pretty against the LA Rams the week prior. They were 7-1-1 against the number with Antonio Pierce as the interim head coach. This year, as the Raiders are 2-6, they're 4-4 ATS. They have covered in 2 of their 6 losses each of the past 2 weeks. I lean under in that game, 46.5. The Bengals, in 2 of their recent wins before last week, played under in both. I think the Bengals defense has to be really good on Sunday if they're even going to flirt with a touchdown win at home. And Joe, to your point, 0-4, both straight up and against the number for Cincinnati at home this season. Plenty more from the Sunday slate. We continue to preview all 13 games on FFC on this Football Friday. Comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We continue to preview the entirety of the Sunday slate in week number 9 of this NFL season here on Football Full Circle. Next up, Joe, we go to Cleveland. Jameis Winston, last week at home in his debut, throwing for more than 330 and 3 touchdowns as the Browns pull off the monumental upset as more than a touchdown underdog against the Ravens. Still a home dog, but by a lot less this week, hosting the LA Chargers, just 1.5. -120 on the money line in favor of LA. Total stands at 42.5. Listen, it's the Jameis Winston experience. Can the good times keep rolling in the land?
I'm going to take the points here. Here's the thing. West Coast team going to the East Coast, right? Ohio, Midwest. 1.5 point. Yeah, but still, it's a. All right. You know what I mean, right? Okay. But 1.5 points. I mean, I watched that game against New Orleans. New Orleans was able to move the football a little bit on that defense. I wasn't impressed with the L.A. Chargers overall. Jameis is going to chuck it, and I got to buy into Cleveland playing at home. Maybe they scrounge to 4-6. I do like the over. 42.5 with Herbert now coming into his own. 349, 250-plus last week. Give me the over as the best play, but I'll take the home dog with the points.
Both under in 6 of 7, including 3 of their 4 wins. We'll see what Jameis Winston does. Last week, no interceptions. You would expect a couple of turnover-worthy plays perhaps this week. My favorite bet, Joe, with L.A. favored, and I think L.A. wins, J.K. Dobbins to find pay dirt at -115. Dobbins has scored all 4 of his touchdowns this year. in the four wins for LA. He has scored a touchdown in all four wins, has not found the end zone in any of the three losses for the Bolts. Joe, it's now or never for the next two games we are about to break down. First, we start in Western New York. The Bills hosting the Dolphins as a 5.5-point favorite. Total stands at 48 and a hook. Buffalo is 1-3 straight. They have covered in 5 of 6 wins this year. Miami's offense looked a ton better last week in the return of Tua Tagovailoa, scoring 27 points the first time this year, north of 20, but albeit, Joe, in a losing effort as the Arizona Cardinals came back to win. The Dolphins with Mike McDaniel, 6-11 against the spread as an underdog. Can Miami do the unthinkable and win in Buffalo on Sunday?
The spread says they can, Ben. I mean, that's a Dolphins spread, because if you think about how much they've been abused in Buffalo, that spread to me should be more like 7. And I know it's a divisional game, but 5.5 to me is cheap. And it's gone down. And I'm still not sold on the Dolphins front 7. We talked about it last night. Do you think Miami can win? Do you think they could score? Yeah, I think Miami could put up 24. But that doesn't mean that Josh Allen is not going to score 38. You know, and so that's the problem. I have no confidence. If they couldn't shut down James Conner and Kyler Murray last week, how are they going to shut down Cook, you know, Dalton Kincaid, Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman coming into his own? The defense shows that they can't even stop the run. So I can't back Miami. If I had a bet, I would take the points. It's a no play for me because I think Buffalo is going to kill them. But I do like the over 48.5.
Yeah, listen, it's so difficult, right, to back into the fins, to believe in the idea that they can pull off an upset as an underdog when they have 3 outright victories in the 17 games as a dog under Mike McDaniel. Joe, of any underdog that has been booked as a dog 10 times or more since the start of 2022, the Dolphins have the 2nd fewest outright wins as that underdog. Only the Chargers have 1, and that is worse. I don't know if it's the time for Miami, but it has to be because it's getting late early, even in the return of Tua Tagovailoa. Joe, same story for the Cowboys in Atlanta. Atlanta's a 3-point home favorite. 51.5 is the total. It's our highest of Sunday. The Falcons are 5-3. Feel a little bit peculiar, just 1-4 against the spread at home this year. The Cowboys are sub 500, 3-4, but all 3 wins away from the star, twice outright as an underdog, despite getting beat bad last week in Santa Clara on Sunday night. Leasy guy, the Cowboys need to start winning and winning soon, or this season could get off the tracks. What do you expect in Atlanta?
I like Dallas, and one of my better picks. I'm taking the +3, but I like them +144 on the money line. Back-to-back road games, I get that. But to your point, 3 of the wins this year on the road, I believe more. And listen, I know Kirk is playing well, but more in that offense for Dallas than I believe in that offense for Atlanta, even though they're at home. Give me the boys outright.
The Cowboys have not been great on the ground, either offensively or defensively. Could be a big Bijan Robinson day, but I kind of lean with Dallas getting 3 in that flat number of 3. More divisional duels, more of the Sunday preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We keep previewing every game from the Sunday slate. Next up, Joe, a divisional duel in MetLife. The Giants host the Commanders. Washington is 6-2. Washington is covered in every single win this year, and the Commanders are still riding high from the Hail Mary winner last week at home in Landover over the Bears. The Giants about to be booked as an underdog for the 24th consecutive game. 3.5-point spread, Joe, in favor of the Commanders, total 44.5. What do you like in MetLife on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Giants are dead and buried after that Monday nighter. And the way Daniel Jones again lost the game, can't buy in. I know it's an emotional letdown potentially with the Hail Mary, but the way Jaden Daniels is playing, and, you know, that defense is coming into form. They're not elite. But they're holding up a better than average opposing offenses. They held Chicago to, you know, no points through 3.5 quarters. I don't see the Giants stepping up. They might score some garbage points, but it's Washington or bust for me, Ben.
Yeah, listen, Joe, I would agree with that. I don't think you can take points right now with the G-men. 11-11-1 against the spread, and now they're 23 consecutive games of the dog, about to be 24 in a row. It's been pretty mediocre, sadly, for the New York Giants. Just 3-5 ATS this year and only two outright wins. The Bears,
they're 0-4 at home, too. They're just like Cincinnati. They haven't stepped up. How could you back a team like that?
Yeah, I don't know, especially on your own home turf in East Rutherford. First time these two teams met this year, Joe. Of course, Washington won 21-18 without scoring a single offensive touchdown. Brian Robinson Jr. ran for 133 in that game. His prop not out yet, dealing with a hamstring injury, but I'd keep an eye on that number. So on the opposite side of the jubilation of the Hail Mary was the agony of defeat for the Chicago Bears. They're now on the road this week out in the desert as a slight underdog. Arizona, 1.5-point favorite, -124 on the money line. Total stands at 44.5. Lisi, you said it. You've been saying it. Matt Eberfluser does not have what it takes to be a head coach in the National Football League. I feel bad for the Bears. They're still a team with a winning record. Arizona trying to get above 500 at 4-4 currently. How do you see it out in Glendale?
Yeah, I still go with Arizona, and they're a sneaky team, right? Starting to come into their own, running the football. We saw Kyler making plays, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Gannon. You know, Gannon steps up, underrated coach. I put Gannon and Steichen in the same boat, co-coordinators in Philly. They get their teams to cover. So, you know, I like Arizona here. I just think they're the more complete team, not to knock Chicago, but we saw DJ Moore come out and say the locker room now has got to keep it in, you know, the players against Flus. I don't like that situation. Give me Arizona. They're fighting hard, and Kyler's playing very well heading over the past couple of weeks. I like that.
This will be more than likely, if it closes in favor of Arizona, just the third time in 25 games, now 26 games under Jonathan Gannon. Arizona was booked as a favorite, 13-10 ATS as an underdog. All right, Lisi guy, elsewhere around the National Football League, let's keep going through that late afternoon window. Joe, the Eagles got off to a precarious start this year. Even at 3-2, it did not feel overly optimistic. At 4-2, okay. Last week, things starting to change. The Eagles laying it on the Bengals by 20 in Cincinnati outright as a 2.5-point underdog. They now host the 2-win Jacksonville Jaguars, who feel even worse than slightly not optimistic, and they're laying 7.5 points, that being the Birds. Total, 45.5. What do you like in Philadelphia on Sunday?
I like the over as the best play, but I can't take the 7.5 with Jacksonville. Again, they were right within striking distance, fight back against Green Bay. They get the turnover. They can't capitalize. They lose it in the last overtime, in the last minute of that regulation. It's amazing. Again, this team has weapons. Brian Thomas gets hurt. Christian Kirk gets hurt. There's now no continuity again with Trevor Lawrence. I can't buy in on the road. It might be a little cold in Philly. Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts starting to, step up, and the defense is there. Lay the 7.5, but I think the 45.5 is the best play. I think both teams blow through that number, Ben.
Yeah, listen, it's interesting, Joe, because I'm not sure exactly what Jacksonville is going to have. They traded away Cam Robinson this week. They had issues protecting Trevor Lawrence, as is. Christian Kirk out. Brian Thomas Jr. could be out for this game as well. The Eagles' defense is getting better. I'm not entirely sure. I do know OK Dubs will be in attendance in Philadelphia on Sunday. We go up to the Northwest. Seattle, as the Seahawks and the Rams face off in a divisional duel. Joe, the Rams is a slight favorite, but it's a virtual pick 'em. -112 on the money line right now in favor of LA. -104 on the other side for Seattle. Total 47.5. Lisi guy, 2 wins for the Rams in the span of 5 days. Of course, as we look back on last Thursday and the big home win over the Vikings, resurrecting their season. But some more interesting injury news. Puka Nacua re-aggravating his knee injury. They don't expect it to be serious. Is he going to play on Sunday? Now that's up in question. It's a pick'em, Lisey guy, in the Pacific Northwest. Who wins, L.A. or Seattle?
I think L.A. Again, this line was 4.5 opening week last year, and L.A. won by 22 points. And again, I know it's two different seasons. But the thing that's constant is Matt Stafford versus Geno Smith. I still buy into Matt Stafford and Kyren Williams and Cooper Kupp in that offense. Tutu Atwell, if he has to take over for Puka, offensive line starting to, you know, protect a little bit better. And the defensive front led by Jared Verse starting to buckle up. You know, they're giving up yards, but they're holding in red zone opportunities. They're starting to hold for field goals as opposed to touchdowns. That's a good sign on the road. Give me L.A. I think they win it by double digits, Ben.
The Seattle team just 2-5-1 ATS, Lisey guy, in their four losses. It should not be overly surprising that when a team loses, they give up more points than in games when they win. But in Seattle's four losses this year, 29 points or more in all four. In their four wins, 20 points or less, including just 17 combined in their last two. That's the key. If the Rams' offense is healthy, with Cooper Kupp and with Puka Nacua, and Kyren Williams continues to find Pater for an 11th consecutive game, give me the Rams on Sunday in Seattle. Lisey guy, the game of the weekend, the divisional duel in Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. It's the 6-2 Packers. It's the 6-1 Detroit Lions. Detroit booked as a 2.5-point road favorite in Lambeau. But some good news for Green Bay. Jordan Love back at practice yesterday, certainly trending towards starting this game against Detroit. Lisey guy, you almost seem a little bit upset about that. You were going to take the 3.5 if Malik Willis was under center. How do you feel now? The number is less than a field goal in favor of Detroit.
Well, I still lean to Green Bay, Ben, but the problem is, are they rushing Jordan Love back? You know, again, I keep saying this. You need him for weeks, basically 14 through the playoffs, right? You don't really need him this week. He better be 100% healthy. Otherwise, he's going to tweak something else. You know, he hurt the ankle. Then it was the groin. You know, you could be overcompensating for certain injuries. That's always a cause of concern, but Green Bay is a really good home team. The defense is coming into form. I just like LaFleur. I think two of the top three teams in the NFC as a whole. I put Detroit, Eagles, and then Green Bay in those top three for me. I think Green Bay runs it. I think they keep it close and pull it out and win it. It's an ugly game, trend to the under, but give me the Pack.
The Packers have been a great underdog since the start of last year, 10-5 against the spread, the post-Aaron Rodgers era, if you will. This year, an underdog in their first three games, a slight underdog in Sao Paulo, and then an underdog with both of the games that Malik Willis started. They won outright, but there's no better cover team in the NFL than Detroit. They have covered in all six wins this year. They are 43-18 ATS with Dan Campbell as the head coach. That's a cover percentage of 70.5%. No other NFL team has covered in more than 61% of games since the start of 2021. Sunday night and then Saturday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Some big college football games and some previews to break down with some big news in just a matter of moments. But Lisi guy, let's finish the NFL Sunday slate in week number 9 with Sunday Night Football in Minneapolis. It's Indianapolis and Minnesota. The Colts and the Vikings squaring off. The Vikes a 5.5-point favorite. Total at 46.5. Minnesota, Joe, was one of the two final unbeaten teams in the NFL. A perfect 5-0 start. They've dropped two straight. Indianapolis, a big change this week. Anthony Richardson now on the bench. Joe Flacco is going to make his third start of this year for Indy. With all of that, Joe, how do you see Sunday night playing out in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. You know, I'm always inclined to take the points. I don't like how Minnesota's offense has looked. in the second half of games now. Even though they went toe-to-toe with Detroit, they struggled against the Jets. They struggled against the Rams. Give me old man Joe Flacco. I don't know. You know, plus the 5.5, that seems like a Colt line. I'll take the Colts, and I'll lean to the under. I think both, you know, it's going to be more of a methodical type of game. So under the 46, but I think the Colts are within margin and keep it close.
You know, Indianapolis, a 4-4 football team, 7-1 against the spread this year. They're a perfect 5-0 ATS as an underdog. It's been pretty remarkable. They have been under in 5 of 8 games, but 2 of their 3 overs this year in 2 games that Joe Flacco started or either played the majority of, against the Steelers and against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And much like last week, Lisey guy, if you put Joe Flacco in as your quarterback, like we saw with Jameis Winston in Cleveland, you got to let the guy rip it. He's not in there to hand the ball off 35 times. He's in there to throw touchdowns and throw a ton of them. And Minnesota's a top 10 scoring defense. They're the second best rush defense in the NFL. But Joe, third worst passing defense, a lot of that could be skewed. They were playing from in front early in the year. So some garbage time yardage, if you will, when teams were trailing by multiple scores. But then, Lisey guy, Jared Goff goes off for 280 against them. Matthew Stafford looks good against them. In fact, Minnesota over in 3 of their last 4 games after starting under in their first 3. And in all 3 of those overs, they've allowed at least 29 points. I think we see some points on Sunday night in Minneapolis. I go over 46.5. Indeed, my friend. All right, now to college football. Lisey guy, huge opening Saturday in November and some big time news out of state college. Drew Aller is expected to play for Penn State in the top 5 tilt against Ohio State. He was injured for 3rd-ranked Penn State last week in Madison late in the opening half against the Badgers. Bo Prabula comes in, plays very, very well against the Badgers to lead Penn State to a big second half and a huge win on the road in Camp Randall. Joe, a 3.5-point spread, though, in favor of Ohio State. Just double-checking to make sure that did not move after the news of Aller. It did not, accept a little bit of the juice. If you want to have the hook added on to that field goal number, it's now minus 122. Drew Aller is in. How do you see this game in Happy Valley tomorrow?
Well, we know Ohio State has dominated the series. They've won 7 straight, the last 4 by 10.7 points per game. Last year was 20-12, but Penn State picked up a garbage touchdown at the end of that, so I don't even count that in regards to, you know, how they play. Drew Aller needs a better effort against Ohio State. The fact that they're playing at home, Ben, I still think they can run the football. We saw Nebraska have success in the second half. The offensive line got a push. I believe in James Franklin. I believe in the Nittany Lions. The fact that it's 3.5, it's telling you the Nittany Lions are going to be in this matchup, and we'll see how it plays out. Still not sold on Will Howard on the road. Give me Penn State outright.
Big game for Will Howard. He is a Pennsylvania native. He said he grew up a Penn State fan out of high school. He wanted to go there. They did not recruit him, and so he feels as though there is some additional motivation. Lisey guy, the narrative will be a huge part of the conversation around this game tomorrow inside Beaver Stadium. For Penn State, James Franklin is 1-9 against Ohio State. He is 3-17 outright against teams ranked inside the AP top 10. Ryan Day on the other side, just 2-6 against the AP top 5. The narrative is going to continue for one of these head coaches, for one of these programs following tomorrow afternoon. Are you using that narrative at all to break down this game in this year in 2024 tomorrow?
No, I mean, the only thing is maybe from a prop perspective, does he tuck it and run if they're up, close to the goal line, in regards to that. It doesn't affect the cap in any capacity, because whether he went or wanted to be recruited by Penn State or not, this is a bulletin board game, right? It's Ohio State, Penn State, 2 of the better teams in the Big Ten. You want to make the college football playoff. You play good. You didn't play well enough to defeat Dylan Gabriel in Oregon. So that's not a cause of concern, but that's something that should motivate you more than Penn State not recruiting you, right? That's the biggest thing. You lose this game, you're potentially on the outside looking in should you drop that game at the end of the year to Michigan. Yeah. So this is it. It doesn't affect my cap in any capacity. Ohio State still not running the football consistently. You would think they would be with Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. They're more like they were last year where they only averaged 138 on the ground.
2.1 yards per pop last week against Nebraska, who is a really good rushing defense. Penn State is even better based on the numbers. That 2.1 yards per carry, Joe, Ohio State had last week against the Huskers, their worst in a game in the last decade. In an obvious running situations, third and fourth and two or shorter, only a 65% success rate. That's the 10th worst among power conference programs. Not what we expected out of an Ohio State offense with this many tools and Chip Kelly orchestrating the scheme. Drew Aller has been really good this year. A big improvement in terms of his efficiency with the football. 14 of 18 in the opening half last week against Wisconsin for 148 yards and a touchdown. Lisey, guys, sub 60% completion percentage last year for Aller. It is 71.3. this season. I like the over of 45.5, now at 46 and a hook. Picks for the rest of the college football season come your way up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A few more minutes live right here on FFC to preview some of the other big games this weekend in college football. Joe, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party is in Jacksonville tomorrow afternoon. Number two, Georgia and Florida. The Bulldogs were a 16.5 point favorite. Now the number just 14 and a hook. UGA still favored to win this game by more than two touchdowns. If you're watching us, you see those eyebrows getting high. That can only mean one thing. Which dog is Lisi taking?
Well, I think this game's going to be a little bit closer than people think. And, you know, it's a rivalry game that Georgia's dominated. Last year they won by 23, 43-20. They've won the last three by 24 points per game. But I keep bringing it up. The one concern I do have about Georgia is Carson Beck, a little bit more turnover prone in recent weeks in big matchups. Trevor Etienne broke out last week or 2 weeks ago. He's going against his former team. But what did Georgia have problems with 2 weeks ago, or more importantly, a month ago with Alabama? The mobility of DJ Milroe. Lagway is a mobile quarterback. You have an extra week of preparation, maybe a wrinkle here and there. I just think Napier's playing with house money. If you can't devise a game plan to keep it within 14.5 in a rivalry game, guess what? There's your walking papers. So in terms of that, from the spread, I'm taking Florida somehow, some way to keep it close.
I stay under 52.5, now down by a point to 51 and a hook. Lisi, guy, I made this point as we previewed the Texas-Georgia game the last time we saw the Bulldogs. If they are going to be an elite team to contend for a national championship, the defense needs to be on the uptick. They were the 9th worst rushing defense entering that game against the Longhorns, allowing more than 120 on the ground. 9th worst in the SEC, I should say. Texas had 27 carries for 28 yards. I think you saw in Kirby how he had that defense dialed up, both entering the game and his mentality exiting. And Joe, Florida has covered in 3 straight games, booked as a dog. They are going to be an underdog for the 6th time in their 8 games this year by the time we reach kick tomorrow afternoon in Jacksonville. In these last 3 covers, the defense has been absolutely outstanding. They allowed 17 points to Tennessee in regulation. They only gave up 13 to Kentucky's offense in that victory a couple of weekends ago in the Swamp. Kentucky did have a punt return touchdown. The defense is playing good. I think we stay under 52.5. Number 2, Georgia, who has been ranked number 1 in each of these last 3 meetings against the Gators. The number 1 team in the country currently, that's Oregon, Joe. Also a 2-touchdown favorite on the road in the Big House against Michigan. Total 44.5. Lisi, guy, the Ducks have been dominant in their last 3 games. Can they keep it rolling in the house of the reigning national champs?
Yeah, I think they can, but I'm going to take the 15.5 with Michigan. Again, we know that they're only averaging 130 passing yards per game. Jack Tuttle retired. It's Davis Warren again. I think the only way Michigan can keep it close is if they run the football. Sounds simple, right? But you have to actually do it. They got going against Michigan State. Front seven played okay. Bend but don't break. 15.5 to me is just way too much in the Big House. I know Michigan's not the same team, but I'll take the points. Oregon might win because of Dylan Gabriel. But Michigan with the points for me is the play.
Fourth time for Michigan as an underdog this year. Third time at home in Ann Arbor. They were a home underdog just five times in all 9 years with Jim Harbaugh. Only one since the start of 2021, and that was the game in the Big House in 2021. I actually think we see some points on Saturday in Ann Arbor. I go over 44.5. Lisa, guy, two crucial ACC games on Saturday, Clemson and Louisville. But let's go to the other ranked versus ranked top 25 tilt that we have. Pitt, number 18 in the country, perfect, 7-0 for the first time since 1982. SMU unbeaten in its first year in ACC play. 13 consecutive conference wins for Rhett Lashley and the Stangs. Lisa Guy, 7.5-point spread in favor of the Mustangs. Both quarterbacks ready to go. Eli Holstein for Pitt. Kevin Jennings for SMU. How do you see the game on Saturday night in Dallas?
Well, Jennings threw three picks against Duke, right? And I just believe that Pitt is a little bit more opportunistic and complete. Not to take away from SMU, but I think Pitt wins it on the road in that matchup.
Outright as a touchdown dog. Pitt has won outright in their two games as a dog this year. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We'll see you guys on College Football Today tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern. FFC returns on Monday. Have a great weekend.